Okay, this is a session with Leon, recorded on April 17th, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 10:46 a.m. Hawaii time. Okay, Leon, take it away.
How you doing, Ion?
Very mostly non-physical today, thank you.
Awesome. All right, so let's start this off with one of my ponders is pretty much life and death, or maybe I'm just not using that properly. I just want to try to get
all right. You're sort of getting your feet wet. We'll be easy with you, but now it won't last long. But we'll be easy with you because it's all right. You're embracing your non-physical. You'll start to notice things pretty fast as you're playing with it. So you have a question. So form your question just any crazy way you want to, and then we'll go from there.
Let's see. Yeah, pretty much I just want to get a greater understanding of the guff. Okay. Is that like the final spot where we all decide if we want to transition to that particular, to the guff? Is that the final stage, or is it more from there?
Well, final stage. No, see, it's an interesting question, and I'm not sure it's ever one time ever been asked before. It's been poked around at. See, okay, we describe the phase of the guff like when you're a newborn baby and you're a crawler or rolling around or whatever, and then all of a sudden when that little muscle connects in the back of your neck, once it connects and forms and connects, then you stand up and you start walking upright. Okay? Then you're a walker. You were a crawler, now you're a walker. And until that connects, you will not walk. And if it does not connect, then you never will walk. It's just a whole process of this connection thing of coming from a crawler to a walker. Well, what you're talking about, the transition, and there is no death because you're eternal regardless. Okay? You are eternal regardless. So you're describing the if you chose to transition and go to the guff, your question is valid, and what you're asking is that it? Is it over then? Is that where eternity, the balance of eternity is wrought? And we say, well, it'd be easier if you described it as a walker. You're a babe, and then when that connects, then all of a sudden you're walking. Okay? So if we go at it from that direction, then the guff becomes a condition that you engage along the way if you choose to. And what we're promoting, of course, is to come into your place of power, your power, not anybody else's power, your power, and through that process of ascension, you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay right here, right now, eternally. And your body will respond in kind. You don't have to age. You don't have to have all this blah, 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 blah. But you also, you're such a powerful creator, you can choose to separate from your meat sack body. Well, if you choose to separate from your meat sack body, you could almost say, if I die, did I have to leave my house? You could say the guff is as close as the ductwork of your house, the crawl space. Now, that would be a bit confusing from what you think you know regarding it, but for our explanation, it's as valid as any other aspect, you see, because you still continue your eternalness, all right? So, no, that is, the guff is not the end, all right? And there is no reincarnation. We've cleaned that up pretty. You've heard that, we're sure. Anybody that's listened long got that. But if you got questions, we'll answer them. But what happens is the essence of you, because there's more non-physical of you than there is physical already, then you would continue once the cataclysmic side of new heaven, new earth takes place. Lots of folks are going to go to the guff, but just for a bit. Then as they come forth, when the guff empties, they come back to earth, and they're still as God as they were when they left in physical meat sack bodies here.
Gotcha. Because I understood that, you know, and maybe coming out even more in the sense of, like, I felt like Yeah, the Guff is something that you can go to relax, and then you can come into this world, or I'm pretty sure there's other worlds as well. Is that correct?
Very good. Very good. That's right, because sometimes you can choose to transition. Many do choose to transition, but not transition to the Guff, but transition to a whole other world. And that doesn't mean you're stuck there, even there. And that doesn't mean you have to transition to go to other worlds. See, here's the fun of it, that the only limitation in this process at all is you. You're the only limitator. You heard of an imitator? Well, you're the only limitator.
Gotcha. So people can ask a lot of those little questions. And so, and mainly, as I asked Bob already, it's like this world. We can pick and choose. It's when we come to this world or other worlds, we can kind of say, you know, I want
you
to.
You already do. You can't. It's not okay. I can pick and choose. You already do pick and choose.
Okay.
Now, so that's interesting. Like, now, wait. Now, that's interesting because, you see, if you can do that, then we're having a way different conversation. Once that caveat is embraced, now we're off to the races. Because now all of a sudden, there are no, you don't have to wonder, hey, Ion, are there other worlds? Nope, you get that. Then the question turns into, as Bob would say, is there a process by which I can engage other worlds? See, you don't have a problem knowing there are other worlds, but you may have questions of, how do I get to other worlds and get back?
That is a good question. So let me ask that question. How do you engage in other worlds when you're on this particular world?
Good, good, good. Now you've stepped into it, so good. We kind of led you a little bit. But now we're going to deal with the 6 degrees of separation. That's the who, what, when, where, how, and why words, beginning of a question. If you can find some way to ask the question without those degrees of separation, you every single time can get to an answer. But if you don't, then there may be some questions you come to where we're going to smile and we're going to say, it's up to you, please yourself, blah, blah, and go with God, blah, blah, blah. You get a bunch of woo-woo crap, but that's not what you're asking. You want the grits and gravy of the program. But you asked a nebulous question like, why was I born? Well, it may be you did. There is no why. You weren't. No. I am born. Oh, were you there? Yes. Do you remember? Yes. I was very close to my mother. Are you sure? See, the whys and the whos and the whats and all those things can get you down a rabbit hole that you can't get to. It's possible. So let's say, okay, Ion, you're chiding me. We're really not. We're being easy with it. But you could say, Ion, can you describe the simplest way to engage in other worlds? See, we didn't use a degree of separation, and that type of question will get you somewhere. Is there an aspect I've not considered? Is there an easy way to do this? You see what I'm saying? Without the what is the easiest way? Good. All right, so the easiest way, since all the gates and portals are open, oh, Bob, it's coming on the anniversary for when all the gates used to, you had to open the gates going to other worlds and portals. But since this is coming on a year or so or something, we don't do time. It's a false premise. But Bob can tell you every date that's ever been and what was happening and how he felt during it. But within that date process, all the gates and portals are opened. Gates, just a larger portal. Gates, all those are open now. So if you're strolling along and you've seen this, this something what people sometimes describe as wavy.
Kind of.
You've seen it if you're out in California. You've seen it driving along, having the heat coming off the pavement.
Oh, yes, sir.
All right. Well, guess what, baby? That's a gate. That's a portal. And you can see it in buildings. You can see it in your house. You can see it through the window. Sometimes you'll be walking along and things will start showing up for you. Many people play with numbers, okay? You'll see something like 88 or 1111 or 1221 or 2112 or something, 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 something. Or if you're, depending on what you're, like if you're an artist, sometimes paints, colors of paints will do that. If you're an architect, sometimes it's linear lines will do that. Depending on what your interest is, you see, that seems to be where you more focus. Because like if you were a seamstress in the sewing world, somebody could walk by you and you'd notice a stitch on their garment.
Yeah.
Because that's your world. But if you're just some jock that likes to play fool's ball, you're not going to notice a hem or a hemline, or you see, that's not going to be something you focus on. But if they're first in goal and fixing to make a touchdown, now you know when they cross the line. But if you're in the fashion world, you might not know what a fool's ball touchdown is. You see. So whatever your focus is seems to be a definer or a way to notice gates and portals. All right. So whatever that is, when you notice a wavy, could be at your favorite coffee house. It could be, you know, just something that seems what you call normal. And you see that, then you just engage it. And you'll go right through that portal. Now, the world that you go to may not be hugely different than the one you're in right now. But it could be. It could be. Now, we always say, notice, pay attention. If you see a sign, if you see a Bank of America sign, and that's where the wavy is, and you go toward the wavy, and then you're trying to get back to this world because that world is different than the one that you're in, looks close to the same. You might go through a portal and it was daytime here and maybe nighttime there. And then you're going to turn and you're going to say, WTF, Ion, who turned out the lights? You see, it's possible. All those realms. Or you may look up and look on the news and there's the Twin Towers. Didn't they fall? Not in all worlds. You might look up and see two suns or two moons.
Okay.
Lots of things. You might find that asphalt is purple.
So, and that was just kind of like what I remember you guys kind of mentioned on, there was a young guy, he did film, but he was in Japan when the tsunami hit and he transitioned to a different world, or he moved into a different world. Is that
good? Fine. That's fine. Fighting these days, right here, right now. But it's all right. It makes no difference because we're in all those worlds already anyway, so you won't miss us. We're with you because you got more non-physical than you got physical. But now let's get back to what we were talking about, gates and portals. When you see the wavy, and if you see a Bank of America sign or 2122 or pi 3.1415926 or a pair of shoes that just give you a great erection or something, whatever that is, and you go through the wavy, and you find yourself in another world, that's the pinpoint place where you look to come back. For example, if you walk down the street, and there's the Wells Fargo, and the Wells Fargo has a wavy, and you walk to Wells Fargo, and you find you in another world, and then you decide you want to come back, well, it's obvious to go back to the Wells Fargo and do it again, whatever point that is. Now, we're not going to limit what it is, okay? It could be anything. You see them all the time. Matter of fact, even human creators are finding these sinkholes now that there's no damn bottoms to. And that seems to make the news, but they don't talk much about it. Yes, there's a bottomless pit. It goes, there is, we've put 1,000 feet of rope down it, and there's no bottom to it. Why isn't Diane Sawyer chit-chatting about that?
Huh.
Now, you see, that's a degree of separation of why. Well, there's no answer to that. They don't want it exposed. They don't want you to know that there are these gates are opening up. They don't want people going and jumping, listening to us and going jumping into the hole.
So, okay. Yeah, that was, it, remember that one, because I was going to get on that. That's
yeah, we know.
Politics.
Well, that's why we got ahead of it. We were, see, okay. We know, so that's how we lay it into it. So it makes sometimes makes a nice segue. It's great fun. This non-physical business is just too cool for school. All right, so that does that clean up your gates and portals from a basic level? Now, this is being recorded for you. And here's the point. Sometimes when you're actively engaging in your questions, you really can't hear what we're really, really, really saying. Many times you'll find that we answered 30, 40 questions more than you asked. And that's
yeah.
Okay. Because when you re-listen to it and you're not having to be actively focused on your next asking, you'll find that there's much, much more information, and we'll fill it up. Don't fret. You, there's lots for you to ponder when we get through. So far, let me just say. But it sort of takes the heatness out of the fire, so you don't have to make notes and go through all this stuff with our responses. You can do that later and actually pull it apart very literally, and it'll be, sometimes it's very euphoric.
Yeah, that's what I was
Good.
Hoping for. Okay, so pretty much as we got to that point of somewhat life and death, I got an understanding of the death, how it operates. You can transition to different portals and are pretty much different
could
worlds.
You,
and
could you think of the guff as a winter summer closet?
Okay, I have
you?
Really not
could
much
you?
Of a strong.
Could you? You know, you have your clothes in your closet.
Okay.
You got winter clothes and you got summer clothes. Well, you may have a guest room where you keep your winter clothes in the summer and vice versa. Okay? So if you could think of the guff as a winter-summer closet where you would change them out, that's fine. Because they're your winter clothes. You don't use them in the summer. You store them. You have them. They're yours. They are. You just put them in a different space for a little while until you change them up again. How about that?
Okay.
Does that
so
soften it just a little bit?
Yeah, because I was wondering about that. I think that was the one kind of thing I was kind of thinking about.
Definitely.
Is the guff more in the sense of a place to either, more in a sense of to relax until we decide to come back and play or and create?
Well,
or is this more?
Yeah, it's an outwing. It would be no different than water. See, all the water that is already is, regardless if it goes down the sink or comes into the sink, it's like that. And it goes back to the earth and comes back to you from the earth, you know. And the wheels on the bus go round and round. Or it evaporates, gets in the clouds, and then rains back on you. And then you see in that same way in process. You take a shower, the water that comes out finally will come back through the same spout again. But now that's tempering on the edge of reincarnation.
Yeah.
There's only one coronation, just one, okay? Because if you had reincarnation, the water coming out would be dirty, and you're not
and
that way.
Yeah, I was wondering because you brought a good point of, like, the evaporation of the rain or
right.
the water, and then it comes back down. It's more in the sense of, like, a kind of reclean and then kind of like
well, it becomes part of its, it comes part back to essence, which you already are. See, you are at essence. The only issue is you have this labyrinth and you have this mind that you're using inappropriately. And it's okay because it's what you got. No problem. But once you learn or embrace the concept or figure out never mind, no problem. And they say, Ion, how you talking smack? You can't be saying that. People think. We can't help it. We just think. We go, yes, okay? Then we say, do you have a car? And they say, yes. They say, do you know where your car keys are? And they go, yes. And they say, where? And they go, in my pocket or in my car or laid on my counter or whatever. So I said, okay, so now you don't have to think about your car keys. You know where your car keys are. And they go, exactly. And then they go, oh, and then they go, well, then I'm not sure. Let me see where my car keys are. Or they might come back with, I think I know where my car keys are. Well, now the car keys may elude you. So what we're talking about is as a god, And that's what we're talking about here. Them's great big old words. Now, the heretic hunters, they don't like that word too much, but, oh, well, changeth not. See, in your place as a God, and you know, then you don't have to think. If you know you're going to work tomorrow, you don't have to think about going to work tomorrow. You know you're going to go to bed, and you know you're going to wake up, and you know your bowels more than likely are going to move sometime between now and then. Okay? Good. You don't necessarily have to know when, but for that to occur isn't too big of a surprise that you likely would empty your bladder in the next 24 hours. Okay? So that's not too odd. Well, the same way it is with the weather, with your environment, with how money flows to you, with what you create, with what you allow, every aspect that's in your world you individually, singularly create. Down to a damn cold. You chase a cold. But your words are clear because your words are very powerful. Oh, I'm catching a cold. Well, there you have it. Oh, I caught a cold. Well, if you weren't chasing it, you wouldn't catch it.
Got you. And the words are beautiful, powerful words.
They're not beautiful. Some of them's nasty.
Yeah.
Some of them's terrible, but they still create. And see, the human creators are so powerful, and all we're saying is notice how powerful you are. If you could notice what you're actually speaking, well, you really don't have to notice. Turn around and look. Whatever's around you, that's what you've been speaking. That's it. And some people are tore up, broke down, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing with what they have and what is. So we say to them, do just exactly what you've been doing. They say words like, well, the rich get richer and the poor get poor. Okay, works for us. We like that.
That's a good. I want to use that as a segue to the next thing.
This is not a valid menu option.
Is the beautiful or not? Sorry about that. In the sense of what was it? Think about it, and it shows up. Or when we think about something, it shows up.
Well, speaking about it, and it shows up. Now you can think it. And you can think it and consider it and include it of a word you've already spoken, and then that thought would show up. But the thought is just an aspiration like deja vu. You think about deja vu. You walk around, you don't know what it is, you go, wait a minute, I've been here before. Wait a minute, this is, I know what the man's fixing to fall over the little mother fella's foot and have the tray of dishes and the macaroni and cheese is going to go flying across the restaurant, and son of a gun, it does. Okay? That's deja vu. Well, we say it really isn't that. We say it's vu-ja-de, meaning that it's just you lining up the time, it's a false premise, but the position of juxtaposing position of time allows you to incur an aspect that already is. Because there is no past, there is no future, there's only now. Now, granted, it is a big now. Is that the way you wanted to go with that, or what you want?
I think that's pretty much it. And that's another thing, too, that I like to touch base on after this, this one. I like mention of desire something and opportunity shows up. And I feel like I desire a lot of things in my life, but I don't. And they show up, but I don't get them. I really don't physically say, okay, I'm getting this. I feel like I always
Well, okay. Then see if there's no rules about what you're worthy of. No problem. You see? Worthy will bite you in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
Worthy will separate you from every glorious and wonderful thing.
So is that like one of my major problems or one of my problems is that I feel like I'm not...
We'd say no because you'll soften it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You'll soften it because now you know. Once you know, you can never unknow. What is it they say about a bike? Once you learn how to ride a bike, you can always ride a bike. Well, that's because you know how to ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may get yourself physically in a position where it's not the fastest path to your joy to ride a bike, but you can, you say. You get one to fit you, just ride it. You can ride a bike. No problem. All right. So if that's the conditioned response, it's not a problem. It's something that you'll embrace at a different tier or a new level.
In a, more in a sense of like when I move to a different level or when I decide to get...
level. A new knowing. There you go. A new knowing. I didn't know I liked pistachio ice cream. I tried it. It was the fastest path to my joy, and now it's my most favorite. Then, but it may not be now. But just because it's not now doesn't mean it couldn't be. You see? If we see, we lay it out into this way. For years and years and years and years and years, a cup of coffee was a cup of coffee. Now it's an art. A double mocha latte, half fat, half soy, chrome this, crimp that, chaka mocha locky, mochi toki, cappuccino, kappa floppy. I mean, you can, I mean, it's an art over silly damn coffee. You see? But that's because considering what's the possibility, it's unlimited. The next thing you know, now you have lines, they have to write your name on the cup. Because it's just for you. It's just your creation. So you don't want to mix up and get somebody's ever half soy milk latte coca mochaccini.
So the thing is, like, in a morning sense, I might desire something, but then when opportunity shows up, it's more than what it was.
Say that one more time, and because we're going to pick it, we're going to pick it, but we want you to get it clear what you said, so we know you'll get the answer later. Your question again.
So the thing is, the words that you meant are that I heard was desire something, and the opportunity shows up. And I feel like sometimes I feel like a lot of times I desire something, an opportunity to show up, but I don't reach for it. And is it more than just I'm just considering it, or
maybe not ready? It's not ready. See, it's not ready. You create the weather. You create the weather. But then you say, well, I wanted sunshine and it's rainy. Doesn't rain in Southern California, does it?
I believe so.
Well, okay. But not every day.
Not every day.
See?
Every blue moon.
So there you go. So now the point is, if you individually create the weather, period, that you experience, then you ought to be able to choose which weather you experience. But if you're saying, I desired sunshine and it's raining, or I was hot and I wanted it cold, or I was cold and I wanted it hot, now it's hot, now it's too hot. See, your words vacillate up, down, over, under, everything a rabbit can do to a stump. So you're creating every possibility, and that's why you find the variables in your world. People get into this unknown knowing of, well, what in the hell's next? Well, next is because you've said hot, cold, cold, hot, up, down, over, under, out, in, out. You've said all those things, so every one of those are included in your reality. So it's almost like a hit or a miss seeming to you. But once you get a little bit of practice with this process, you'll find that you can make a statement. Bob's famous line that he quotes from somebody says, hey, I made it all up and it came true anyway. Okay? Now that sounds glib when you say it, but if you really pick that apart, now Bob can squeeze that thing till Jesus comes. Don't you worry. He can tear it up now on this asking business. Best asker ever. There's been lots of good ones. He's the best asker ever because he has no predispensed notion regarding his asking. Okay? So therefore, innocently, he picks it apart. How is this? And la, 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 la. And then he comes to some place and then it changes everything. Then you say, Bob, we don't know what you said. I don't either. I'm on to something else now. That was a moment ago. Next. You see? And that becomes kind of fun because you never get in a box with Bob. Okay? And this is fine. This is fine. This is fine. So as you're playing with every possibility and you mark your words a little bit, just a little bit, like taking on a phrase. Money flows freely and easily to me. Now, if you broke out with money, you don't necessarily say that because the money's already flowing freely and easily to you. But for Pete's sake, don't say, I want to feel poor so I'll know why everybody else feels. Because you will.
That's true.
See?
Okay.
So if it's working, great. If it's not, shift the focus of your words. And whichever ones you say the most of will be the faster and the quickest path to your joy. Because, see,
gotcha.
All you're trying to do, the only reason you or any other human does anything ever is for the thoughts that you'll feel better in the doing of it.
That is very true.
You don't have an orgasm unless you have the thought that you'll feel better. If it becomes very, very painful and just very, very, very not comfortable, you won't engage in orgasm. You eat not necessarily because you're hungry. You eat because the thought that eating that piece of cake will, you'll feel better. You exercise because you like how your body feels regarding. You don't like the exercise, but you like the outcome.
Yeah.
You go to work not because it's fun, because you kind of got really used to spending money checks. And you made a rule that if I don't work real hard, that I don't get to eat. Well, see, that's not the case any longer. Actually, the people on relief make more money than the working class anymore, but their words set that up.
Yeah, that is
true.
See?
I mean, when you think about it, you kind of go, crap, this non-physical woo-woo crap's starting to make sense. Because you can see it played out and played out and played out and played out. Okay, now, if you like it, continue. If you don't, change your words. We don't care what you think, because you're going to think whatever you think. But don't let your tongue land or come from your thought process. Your tongue is not connected to your mind. Do your anatomy. See where the tongue goes to. It does not connect to your mind.
All right, I will start research that.
It does not. Because if it did, that's why they say that the eyes are the window to the soul. Interesting. Well, they say life and death is in the tongue. Well, because that is the activator for this massive amount of power that you already have. See, it makes our job just super duper duper easy breezy squeezy easy, because you already got more power than you'll ever use already. So all you're doing is just like a cone or a funnel. You're just focusing the flow. All we help you do is for you to come into your power to concentrate your place of experience just for a split second long enough till you get it that it's your power. And once you get it that it's your power, honey, you'll rarely touch the ground anymore.
Right.
Once you learned as a kid how to tell time. They taught you how to tell time, correct?
True.
Well, time's a false premise. But we never said that you can't make time tell.
More in a sense of time tell is like
what's the future?
Okay.
Now that'll hit you about 3 o'clock in the morning.
What's the future? Okay.
If you could make time tell, you could tell you what tomorrow was going to be, what the stock market was going to be, and what the price of rice in China was going to be. Bam. And you go, holy crap, that might be handy.
Yeah.
But,
no, I understand what you're saying.
But your words are the creation. And now, is that necessary? Not at all. If you're interested in it, that's absolutely wonderful. No problem. But you could just as easily get everything, anything, everything you want, not have to know any of that crap. You could happily just say, I don't care what the price of rice in China is. I'm so busy pleasing and delighting myself. I can't spend all the money I got now. The neighbors are fussing. Money's falling out the house. Trash men won't haul the money off anymore. The municipality's going to get me a code violation because I'm hoarding cash. It's every time I open the door, it falls out. People think I'm weird because I have all this money. I take a leaf blower and blow the money out of the garage, and they get mad. You see, they even do commercials about that when they're talking about their hefty bags full of cash that they're getting shed of. Well, it sounds just kind of silly, but there are human creators who absolutely have that problem. Work on the hourly wage of a billionaire and see how it works out for you.
Okay.
It doesn't compute.
I mean, I understand
the billionaire
this is like
doesn't
how,
care. Billionaire
yeah.
doesn't care.
So
they're used to it.
Yeah, so I was thinking, like, in the sense of the great deal of wealth is more in the sense of money has no purpose. It's just thoughts.
Yeah,
that's
right. And see, here's the thing. They use money. They use money to gauge how you're doing. Well, if you don't know how you're doing, then look at your monies. Okay? But that becomes nebulous, isn't it? Because money comes up and down. People are billionaires, then they're filing bankruptcy, and then they're billionaires, and then they're on relief, and somebody sues them and takes all their money away, and they smile and give it to them. Or the government takes all their assets away, and then they go get some more. See, it goes up and down like a window shade. You don't get mad at the window shade because it's up or down. But if you know how to raise the window shade up and down and control that blind, you get to say how that goes. Now, where all that's going very quickly is you very soon want to embrace the difference between power and authority. Because if you get a power down, which you already have, we just want to get you to play with it a bit. When you get comfortable with it, don't jump in the deep end. You're all right. Stick your big old toe in there and see how you like it. Okay? Put your big toe in there, and if it feels good, then jump in. No hurry. You have eternity. Okay. Now, once you get power, then you also get authority. But you cannot achieve power through authority. We have a good example. You've probably heard it. We talk about the sitting president of the United States, and that's pretty much all of them. They go at it from authority. Okay, they have more authority than anybody else on the planet. They've got the football and the nuclear codes. Okay? And if they indict you, there'll be an indictment. Okay? But they have very little or no power.
That's true.
But then you got some presidents that come along, that like Ronald Reagan, they talk about what a wonderful president was. Ronald Reagan wasn't no wonderful president. He just had a much better handle on power rather than authority. A powerful president gets on the TV and says, Mr. Gorbachev, you son of a bitch, tear down that wall. That's all he said, and they tore down the wall. Jimmy Carter, right on the foottails of it, they took them Afghanistan took them Iran hostages and held them hostages and wouldn't let them loose, and he did everything but blow them off the planet. And they wouldn't let him loose till Reagan took office, and then they let him go. That's the difference between power and authority. Power, you say the word, and it is done. Ronald Reagan get up there with his voodoo economics, and he'd say, no more new government. And every time he said it, he'd double the size of the government. Not add to. He would physically double the size of the government. Then he'd roll along. He says, we're going to run on a balanced budget. We're going to do this, and we're going to do that. This is the new age, and everything's going good, and it's so good you can't believe it. I don't even want to tell you because you wouldn't believe me, but here's how we're going to get to it. No more new government. And then he'd double it. And caused a great deal of a stir of an issue of some say problems. Asked anybody running around now what to think of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Wilson Reagan. Oh, he was the great president. Oh, he did this. Oh, he did that. You see, it's all relative. It's all relative. Ronald Reagan didn't care. Made no difference to him.
All right. I'll take a new spin at Ronald Reagan. All right. Okay. But I was going to ask, let's get into this subject. Let's move on to the family history. I want to kind of know about my family history a little bit, because I feel like I have like a major disconnect.
Well, now the disconnection is yours, but maybe the disconnection is the connection.
Okay.
Now develop it and poke at it a little, and we'll answer anything. But just for what you're asking, the disconnection may not be the disconnection. The disconnection may indeed be the connection. So now, pick it apart. Ask it any way you want to. We're with you.
All right. So let's get on to the part of supposedly my Native American background, and I was wondering.
Choctaw.
One more time.
Choctaw is the Native American connection to you.
Okay. And the thing about my great grandma.
Well, your great grandma's mama was Choctaw.
Oh, okay. So she was half Native American and half
black. Correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And
well, more. Not black. It's more. In those days, it wasn't like black. It was a more.
It was a more. So there's more interracial.
No, like a black a more. Like the more people, the Moorish. The more.
Okay.
So that was a bit different. So they're different, because the Moors didn't necessarily come from Africa.
Oh. So, okay. All right.
There's great sects of Babylon that didn't come from the continent of Africa. And her connection was from that side, not from African, what they call black or dark skin or this or that. That didn't apply. But it also didn't apply then either, you see. I mean, because it wasn't a negative. You get it.
So a Moor is a different, what was it called again?
A Moor.
A Moor. And it was
like, and they know them, they call them a black a Moor. Meaning they're Moors, Moorish, and they have dark skin. So a black a Moor.
Black a Moor.
You can research that a bit. Yeah. It's a little different than what you call that. Introduced into the slave arena, because the Moors were actually more aristocratic than ever engaged in. They were brighter.
Okay. And all right. And let's see. So I was still wondering: do I have any Native American blood in me, or is it just still that, or is DNA and all of this other stuff is kind of like irrelevant, or? Like
it's not to us. DNA is not irrelevant to us. Y'all just don't know what DNA is.
Yeah,
y'all still trying to use it to get the baby daddies out of prison from the rapes from 20 years ago. Doesn't seem very fruitful that you spend billions of dollars on this DNA research, and that's the best thing you can come up with to do it. Yes, his business was there. Yes, his DNA was there. Yes, he did not get the girl pregnant kind of business. I mean, it's silly. It's ridiculous. So it's very important to us, but we know what it is. See, when you get to the RNA aspect, the information that's given to the cells, I don't think you're going down that place. We could really tear up a bunch of stuff there. That's not exactly what you're asking. So if you knew what DNA was, it's very important. And when you find out what RNA is that gives the information that cells replicate from, no problem. It's just information. Some may say the essence of words, but that's what you're asking, though. So therefore, it becomes a big portion of who you already are, but you are also already eternal anyway.
Okay. So in the sense of the RNA, is that still has like connections with your parents or your ancestors, to say the least?
They're the clues to get you back to God.
Okay.
You left
so that's
yourself
the rule
clues.
Most important.
That's genealogy. Genealogy, if you follow your genealogy back far enough, you'll find you were a god. That's the point of the begatting business.
Okay. And we left traces, as you mentioned, to get ourselves
clues everywhere. Clues okay. everywhere. Even put it on your money. In God we trust. I trust me. This is my money. In God we trust. I trust this money. I'm a god. If you're okay. not, then money falls. See, even that... Now, think about that shit. Think about that. Even in the essence there, just ever plain, in God we trust, you'll not take my money. You're basically saying I'm God.
Okay. And so it's even... So every little small things that we ever created was just kind of like a little essence to say we are. Because always,
bread
you know...
Breadcrumbs.
Okay.
In the forest. Breadcrumbs.
That we love trails to get us back into our place of power.
All your history, all your religions, all your pyramids, all your artifacts, all your parlor tricks, everything. Everything is for nothing other than to get you back into your place of power as God. We do, Bob's done the Revelations Revealed series.
Yeah.
It's great fun because it lays, now you don't have to be a Bible thumper, baby. You'll find it's much more informative than that because there's no dogma involved. But you'll find it's very euphoric as far as getting to know how things were applied even then in the first book of the Bible so you know now what in the hell's going on. Ever
okay.
clue. Even what the atmosphere's going to change to, even what the details of how the world's going to look like, even the sitting president, the way that the China's involved. There's just tons of stuff, and it's laid out just itch to scratch.
Hmm. So was the Egyptians one of the first?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So it was not the first group of people that figured. So were there the? Okay. Who were or? Can you give me the understanding of who
gods
was the first?
Were first.
Okay. But I mean, in the sense of like human creators.
Human creators are gods.
Okay. So were we ever gods roaming on this particular plane, or were we actually...
Oh, yeah, there's some of y'all gods. You're still your god right now. You just don't know it.
Yeah.
All we're trying to do is get you to the coronation and get a crown on your head and get you to your throne. That's all. That's all. You've heard it said over and over and over, it's good to be the king. Well, hell yeah.
So we're always... Have you always been physical? And
everything is, yes.
Everything is. Okay, so everything is physical, regardless.
And now Bob wouldn't stop there. Bob would say, okay, Ion, describe physical. We say, oh, yes, physical is a vibration. Now, wait a minute. What are you saying, Ion? Well, we're saying that everything physical is a vibration. A hertz or megahertz frequency, okay? And just so are you, our vibration.
So in the other sense, all right, to elaborate on vibrations, is it the same definition as like if I will look on Wikipedia? Or is there a different term for vibration? Which you're talking about as gods or
frequency. Frequency,
yeah.
Vibration, and we're not fond of Wikipedia because you could go in and change Wikipedia to say what you want it to say, and now
sure.
That's what it says. Bam, that's pretty good. We typically err on a lexicographer's view. Merriam or Noah Webster. See, okay. they're gauging something, and it can change, but they'll add more meanings rather than replace meanings.
Mm.
Do you see? So
yeah, I always thought that was a tricky one.
Right.
Tricky one.
Right. Right. Because, see, in 1920, if you said, I'm going to Google you, they might have arrested you. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And now Google, you could literally say a sentence is like, I'm going to Google you and see who you are. Well, if you said that in 1920, we'd be having a different conversation.
Very true.
See?
All right.
And it's so fun. Y'all so brilliant. Y'all so smart. You're still dialing damn telephone numbers. It's the most ridiculous thing. You can't come up with a word to replace dialing a telephone number. And we're almost certain you do not have a rotary phone to make this engagement.
Yeah, no. Not
connected. Y'all smart enough to figure everything else, but can't get a new word for dialing a phone.
So are they working on that right now?
We were waiting on you.
To
make a new word for dialing the phone. It's real handy. You're keying a number. You do data entry. You can, on your lucky box, you'll key in a number. If you're working a calculator, you say, oh, let me dial the numbers. You don't say that. You say, enter the numbers.
All right.
So, I mean, as broad as you got it, it's still very limited when you're dealing with words. But they are the essence of creation. And it must have been a real powerful word because it's still hanging around even when it's nebulously insignificant.
Mm.
Pretty fun. Okay, let's get to what else you want.
Okay, sorry about that. So it's elaborate more on the family history in a sense of, let's figure what's the best question to ask. I was wondering, the Native American tribe, was there, can you send me the name of that Native American tribe in which, we're mainly more strongly with?
Choctaw.
They
did. Choctaw.
So that is the tribe itself, and then from there. Okay. And is that more in a certain region of America that you can pinpoint?
They moved. They migrated. You can look them up and find out lots about it. Where they were, where they started, where they ended up as far as their history goes.
Okay.
But they got naturally what humans are just trying to figure out now.
Okay.
That's where some of your horse sense comes from. You have a very integral, wonderful degree, or what they call common sense.
Yeah.
You do. Well, because of that common sense, meaning it's logical, you don't have to go look up which way's north. You have sense of direction, naturally.
All right.
Well, you're saying all right, but you do have that. I mean, people tell you that, do they not?
Well, I mean, I feel it personally, like, in the sense of, like, just common sense. I feel like I have a little bit stronger take.
You got a good bullshit meter. You can tell if it's bullshit or not pretty fast, can't you?
Yeah.
You don't have to waller in it to see if it is or it ain't. And if it works for you, and if it is bullshit, you'd say, okay, we have bullshit. Let's get a process, and let's make the best of bullshit that we have. Okay? Put it in the garden and fertilize the garden. We'll grow tomatoes. Good. Now you've made good use of bullshit rather than spin into it. That's called horse sense or common sense or... Bob would say that that's a healthy, regulated degree of tactility applied. That's interesting. Because, see, if you're going to get lost off somewhere, you'd be great to get lost with. because it's a logical progression that you'd figure out the best of that is and apply it. So your time in the whatever it is, lostness, would certainly have more supplication than with someone very literal.
Okay. Yeah. No, you hit that right. I feel like mm-hmm. nowadays it's kind of a little bit hard for me to enjoy a lot of things that I see either in a on a looky box or.
Well, you can tweet till your twats get sore, but you, at the end of the day, you're kind of like going, "Okay, I tweeted the twat and twatted the tweet and tweeted the twat and the iPad on the facial book, and I run this and I run that. And I don't know one damn thing more than I did." You know. I mean, guess what? Lindsay Lohan will have flatulence. Okay. Doesn't seem very tweetable to us.
Yeah. All right. And just kind of a small, like, since we're on the family subject, I just wanted to kind of get understanding or mainly see how pretty much my mom is doing. Let's see if she's okay, or she decided to go to the Guff, or is she more in a sense that she wanted to come back and back on
the planet. Now, see, here's what we said. We already answered this, and you're going to like this. You were talking. You said there was a disconnection, and mm-hmm. we say, wait a minute. There's actually more of a connection than there is a disconnection. And you're going, okay, Ion. You said that, but that applies. And then here's how it applies. She actually didn't transition. She actually isn't in the Guff. She's actually in another world.
Okay.
And she actually came from another world and just went home.
All right.
So that's why there's not this great brevity about the not a connection, because you don't feel her as gone.
Yeah.
Well, you're saying, yeah, but that's pretty euphoric when you really get to it.
Yeah, I mean, because when I say that, it's more in a sense like, I know it's going to hit me. It's just...
Right.
But
some people can have a mother supposedly, quote, transition, and they can say their name 20 years later, and they start crying like a damn baby. And don't even have Mother's Day. Oh, it's over. They don't even get out of bed. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. Whereas in your world, it's not like that at all. It would be like, oh, she's in San Francisco. She's just not right here. And that's almost kind of the way you kind of handle it, because you know somehow that that's not present, but that's the disconnection that actually is a connection.
All right. So... I remember you mentioned this. You said we decided to come. We chose our parents, and then we chose this particular place.
You chose to come forth, and you didn't care where that was.
Okay, so we really didn't know exactly who we were.
You didn't going care to be. Who.
Okay.
You didn't ask the question, who am I, because you knew.
All right.
You knew who. Otherwise, you certainly would have chosen to be born in Malibu, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
See?
Or, see? Yeah, okay.
Or New York City, or some big luscious Monaco, some wonderful destination vacation spot. See, it didn't make any difference. Because with you and your power, you knew you can make paradise wherever you were.
All right.
Good.
I like that one. I got to use that one. That's my quote.
And that's why we play with The Last Resort, the Eagles song. It's why you call someplace paradise and then kiss it goodbye.
That's all about Sheila, the girl from Rhode Island.
She came from Providence.
Yeah. Sheila, who's on Lady House Gagas. House Gagas of... Real House Gagas of Iandom. Sheila. Sheila and Allison. Has literally.
She does our art questions, too. She does great. She's a fan.
She just found that out. She just found that out last week. There's a lot of her biography in it, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very fun. good. Okay, what else you got left hanging?
Okay, it's get on the subject of politics, if you don't mind, if we could dive into that.
Sure, ask the question.
So there's always this major, I kind of read an article too, like this major discussion of the Civil War itself, the reason why it occurred. And to me, when I kind
of... You have three going on now. Which one specifically?
Well, let's get to the one, the Great American Civil War. The one that actually...
150 years, and you're still dabbing with that. Okay, good. So,
yeah, we're still just trying to figure that out. And to me personally, I love one of the last things I came across where it was just about a lot of interference with international bankers.
That was the great... No. It was Victoria. Queen Victoria.
Okay.
It wasn't about slaves. It wasn't about nothing other than... She wanted the Confederacy to win because they controlled the cotton.
Gotcha.
And if they won, she would have a better shot. Because remember from the Revolutionary War, it didn't go so good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So she knew that if the Confederacy won, that the superpower, when that's when they used to call the United States are. And it was after the Civil War they started saying that the United States is.
Oh, okay.
They were individual like then. You've heard of states' rights?
Yeah.
Well, that was the point. And Queen Victoria desperately wanted the South to win because they could then control the transportation and the vast resources from the Americas. There were almost two, so it was certainly divided.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so they didn't want the carpetbaggers setting the price of tea.
Oh, okay.
It had nothing to do with slavery. It had absolutely zero to do with slavery.
Yeah, that's what
y'all in more slavery now. Y'all in more slavery now than they ever were then. Someone was owned as a slave, they were better looked after on the plantation than they were now.
Yeah, that's what I also came across where it's like, and I just wanted to kind of get that, hopefully you can validate it, is that as soon as the slaves were pretty much supposed to, slavery was eradicated, that's when their lives became more difficult because now they had to take care and defend for themselves. And
now they have to tend to, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. A plantation owner, he would do without before he would mistreat or not do well with his help. Because he saw them as his help, because without them, his plantation wasn't worth very much.
Very true.
Now, of course, you'll hear every story in the world regarding it, but there was a lot of that myth. That didn't just happen in the South, of course. And see, back in those days in the South, you actually had individual human creators who controlled vast sums of property. Up North, that was not the case, per se.
Yeah. Yeah, it was always, you see that where you have a lot of, when you kind of go into like the Northeast of America, of like these individuals and their 8 or 9 people in an apartment trying to survive off of whatever their job. And so that's why I kind of felt like that's what truly, when you kind of break away from the 14th to 15th Amendment came across, I mean, it benefited a lot of corporations as I keep coming across information, but,
well, it's supposed to keep the help in the field, but it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
See, you got your freedom. They got their freedom. They established their freedom. So all it meant was they were free to be a servant. But most of the slaves chose that arena. They chose that arena. Pleased as punch. Because they're sitting on the front porch sipping mint juleps too.
Got it.
Was not about the slavery. At all. It was about power versus authority.
Mm. Yeah.
The battle since the beginning of time is not over right and wrong or right and left. The battle since the beginning of time is not about that. Everybody intuitively knows right and wrong, and if you don't, you find out soon enough. Don't you?
True. So it's always been about the
power. So the battle is not over right and wrong. What's the battle over? The battle's over who's in charge.
From the what you call it, the Egyptians to the Greeks to the Romans.
Samaritan, the ancient Samaritan Hebrew Lloyds forward. Absolutely.
Gotcha. Because remember, you guys talked
about that's a good. That's a good point. I mean, that's not been gone to that level before. Very good.
Awesome. Because I felt like when I, that's where I'm at, and that hopefully you can give me a little bit more again, a validation, is that I'm trying to move forward in the sense of helping people. And I remember you mentioned
don't.
That.
It's not your job. Until you get, you ain't got nothing to give. They don't need your help. You get your ass happy and then get happy and you'll quit caring about everybody else and everybody else's mess. You get happy with you, and the cares of life will go strangely dim. You won't see a homeless person. You won't see any disdain. You won't see any problem. You'll be, I'm sorry, the world is coming in. I'm sorry, I didn't notice. I'm going to the beach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, ain't your job. Because they, even if you help them, they won't love you more. They won't respect you more. They'll hate you because you put them in bondage. Because in order for you to help them, you've got to show them that you're more powerful than they are. Well, isn't that what your government's running into now?
All right.
Because the next thing you know, you'll say, well, now this is inappropriate, and that is inappropriate, and this is okay, and that's not okay. And there'll be no dope smoking on this little world, and there'll be no this, and there'll be no that. And the next thing you know, your rule book gets into something that you're trying to legislate morality, and then the next thing you know, the only thing that would make me happy would be to undo this legislated morality. Is there less dope smoking going on because they got a law regarding it?
All right. Yeah, I understand.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That'd be just about like passing a law saying who you can have engagement with. Coitus. Pass your law. Make prostitution illegal. It ain't gonna stop the business. Try that and see how it works out for you. You'll end up indicting yourself under your own law.
Mm.
See, so you get in the business of getting you happy and leave everybody else out of that mess, because that's where it's going, is a mess. And you'll find quickly that the cares of life grow so strangely dim, you'll give a happy crap what they're doing.
Okay.
Now, so we might suggest look at Bob's civilization, but we would never suggest that. But Bob's kind of got it going on.
All right. I'll question him on that later. So it's,
Tear him up. Do to him what he does to non-physical. He likes it. He likes it rough. And the best part is that he'll stay with you till you run out of questions. He will stay with you until you run out of questions.
Gotcha.
And very few can you better don't play with Bob unless you know what you're getting into. It serves you. It's good. It's good.
So then I have all these wonderful ideas. I feel like great ideas in the sense of storytelling and books and in fashion itself.
Story, don't write the story, because you know our problem in a Gutenberg-free society is the problem with writing. And the problem with reading is, how do you know the one that wrote the reading right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with writing. You got a story to tell, tell it. But now you have the chip body. It's perfectly available. Look at it. Doing you a YouTube. That's all the rage.
Yeah.
New media. You don't have to write nothing.
Hmm.
And you give your stuff away for free, like Lady Gaga, next thing you know, you're a billionaire. That's a bitch. She never sold nothing. She was going to take up prostitution, but the high school girls were giving it away for free. So she's like, okay, I'll make my little music thing accidentally. And then the next thing you know, she's an icon. Got more money than she can blow.
Mm.
And didn't sell nothing.
That I didn't know. So,
well, everybody talked about Lady Gaga, but nobody talked about buying her records. She didn't make none. She had a CD or two, but why would you pay for a CD when you can get it for free?
Yes, I also said the same thing.
So
here.
I guess she got rich selling free D's for nothing. Interesting, isn't it?
Very interesting. So,
what would you do? So if you want to be successful, we'd say find something you do for free, and you can have all the money you can stand. And they go, Ion, you know better than that. And we go, yeah, that's Stephanie. Now, she figured that out pretty quick. She did what she did and could give a crap what anybody else thinks. I know what my monster's like, and I'm going to leave you and your interviewing out of my equation. Bam. House of Gaga.
All right.
Very euphoric. Lots of examples. Humans coming into their power.
So I'm in the same bracket right now where I'm dabbling a lot of things. And that's one thing right now is music. How do you even see myself still in it as?
We don't care. We don't care. You shouldn't either. We don't care. You shouldn't either. Because, see, in that process, it makes no difference. Is there a purpose for doing it? If it's for monies, you can just go to McDonald's and say, pay for your food, give you your food in a sack, and you can say, oh, by the way, money flows freely and easily to me. And they could look at you like you've lost your damn mind. What the hell are you talking about? You're not trying to convince them. You're saying it out loud for you.
Gotcha.
So then you do that a little while, and the next thing you know, money's rolling all over you. Then you could just be happy. Well, what's your profession? I spend money. What do you mean you spend money? I spend all day, every day, pleasing and delighting myself. Oh, so you come for money. No, money comes from me.
Yes, sir.
And it sounds a bit egotistical and a problem. It sounds a problem, but those that are engaging in it don't see it as a problem. They don't see it as egotistical. They're so selfish, they won't have it any other way. They so happy they wouldn't choose bondage.
Hmm.
You see, it only applies to them that ain't got. Them's the only one chawing about it. The Democrats get up there and they start talking about politics and political. They get to raging about, it's the rich, the 2% of the country's got all the money and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. The rich people ain't saying nothing. What they ought to be is what the Democrats ought to be saying is, how in the hell do we become part of the 2% that's got all of the money? That's what they ought to be asking. Because guess what? Rich people know that if they come and take all the money away from them, everything, take it away, it won't be maybe a year, maybe 6 months, maybe a year and 6 months. If they equaled it out and everybody had the same pennies, within a penny, everybody had the same, year and 6 months and a day, the money would be right back with them. No problem. Take it away. Tax us, don't tax us. Collect it, don't collect it. Do it, don't do it. They know that money flows freely and easily to them, so it does. So they don't care.
So is it more in a sense of that the not only a frame of mind, or pretty much it's just how, I guess you could say the vibration is like.
Well, it's the words that come out of their mouth.
Okay.
Really, it's the words that come out of their mouth. You heard it earlier, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Okay, works. That works. That's a nice one.
All right.
It constantly takes the heatness out of the fire. Because once you know, you don't care. Somebody come along and tell you something, and rather than fight with them, if you know better, you don't find it necessarily your job to straighten them out. You know better. You just smile and say, thank you. Have a nice day. Appreciate it. How's that working for you? Something, something, something. Fine. See, so it makes it very simple. Makes it very simple.
More simple and more easier to enjoy the now, correct?
Well, if you don't, change it till you do. If you're not enjoying the now, we say change it till you do. But don't get stuck at any point, because enjoyment might be vanilla ice cream. Remember, that's where we sort of started. Now
yeah.
We're coming back full circle. But don't eliminate pistachio, because it may become your new most fun flavor later. See, so it's actually relative.
Okay.
Good. Okay, what else we got left hanging?
Let's see what else we have.
Yeah, one more question.
One more question. Okay, let's just tackle on this. The great floods I keep coming across and hearing about.
They ain't happened yet. They don't happen.
Yet.
But
not in a very, the time frame of it, any particular.
We don't do time.
Okay. All right. So, let's see. Now, the location where I'm at right now, will that actually be underwater?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, will I be here to see it or be part of it? Or will
you want to? You want to? No problem.
Right.
They can flood the land and not affect you. But see, your whole environment is changing, and some would say, oh, we'll all be dead from radiation poison before that happens, but you'll find out and know better and appreciate these changing of the whole goal of this process is what we call ascension. In ascension, you'll find that all these nasty things, chemtrails, pies and this, no nutrition that, bullshit this and bullshit that. None of that really matters because you're changing. Because if it was half as bad as they put it out to be, you'd already be dead. Okay? You know what I'm saying? If it was half as bad as what they put it out to be, you wouldn't live to see tomorrow. It'd be over. And yet, you got more human creators on the planet now than ever, despite all this nastiness that you've created. You see? So, in this process of ascension, you'll engage and be tickled. You can send a letter to your congressman saying, my neighbor's getting more chemtrails than I am, and I'm pissed. If you don't start giving me my fair share, I'm going to call the NAACP and put them on you like a bad habit, because I'm tired of them other people getting all my good chemtrails. I'm excited about these pisons that you're putting out, because I want them now. And that sounds hysterical when we say it like that. But once you find out what we're talking about, all of a sudden you go, oh, yeah, that Japan thing is pumping the planet full of H-197, the radial isotope of hydrogen. That's too cool for school. That suits us good. And then the process of ascension, which you're asking about, which we'll clean up for you, is a three-step process. One, you embrace your non-physical, which you've already done. Second phase, you engage what is called Bob's too lazy to say two sentences. He calls it bread of water. But it's basically, the short version is bread of life and living water. Third phase of that same process, which you're interested in, but you didn't quite get to today, but you'll be have it for your recording. There's lots in the archives. You can tear yourself up re-listening to stuff, okay? If you notice, we're really got a business going on here when you look at the many, 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 many hours of information that's just available.
Yeah.
A quarter an hour and Bob's a millionaire, you know. So it's not about that. It's about you coming into your power. Because once you come to your power, then, hey, we're rocking and rolling. Everything's good then. Then let it come. Then let it come. Get you to your throne, get you in your power. That's can't get better. Then you'll be singing the song, I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now.
Oh. All right.
So, very, 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 very good. Therefore, we are totally, deliciously, happily, forever, indignantly, Moko Sham Te. Hey!
Hello? Hey.
Yeah, we're back.
All right, so that was fun. Thank you guys so much.
You're very, very welcome. We appreciate it more than you know. We love to play all day, every day. It's great, great fun. Indeed, and we do appreciate it very, very much. Don't be a stranger. You're playing around Jermaine. You know she gets in anytime she wants to. So now y'all got something to chat about.
Yeah.
And we do appreciate it.
Awesome deal. Okay.
Very, very good. Well, thanks again very much. And like I say, when you re-listen to your session, make some notes. Some things may get answered. Other things may have other questions. Make some notes and sort of stack them up. And like I say, get with Bob. He'll get you in.
Will do.
Thanks again much. Have a great, great weekend, and we'll see you soon, if not before.